Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff. Thank you so much for joining us for our online worship service today. Well, we still are in the midst of some restrictions because of COVID-19 in Ontario, and the stay-at-home order is supposed to be lifted next week, but sometimes there have been changes as we've been going along, and so we'll keep you posted on what's going to be happening next week as far as whether or not our in-person ministries are going to begin again. And so we'll be posting on social media and through the Daily Encouragement. So just to keep an eye on those things to find out what's going on. We do appreciate your ongoing support here at Calendar Bay Church. And thank you for giving to our ministry. And you can give in two different ways. Number one is through online. You can go to calendarbaychurch.ca and give safely and securely to our ministry that way. Or the other way is to mail it to us. And you can mail it to our mailing address, which is Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, that's Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. You may have noticed in the Daily Encouragement and on our Facebook page that we are doing a love offering for the Garvey family. Elliot Garvey, who was 46, passed away just before Christmas, leaving two kids and his wife. And we want to help support this family, who are Jan and Grant Pybus' neighbors, and by taking up a love offering for their kids for some future endeavors. And so if you would like to contribute to that, you can do it a couple different ways. One is you can mail your gift to the church, or you can arrange a time when I'm here. Just give me simply a call and make sure that you can drop it off that way. Now, these gifts are non-receiptable because it is a love offering. And so if you do want to write out a check, you can make that out to Sandra Garvey. Again, if you want any more instructions on that, you can give a call to me, or you can call Rhonda Williams, who is helping to coordinate this project. And do be in prayer for the Garvey family and to be able to support them during this difficult time of loss. Well, we do want to celebrate a big occasion that took place yesterday. John and Judy Bonnyshanker celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. So congratulations to you guys. God bless you. And may God give you many more years together. And so we say congratulations, John and Judy, 50 years together. Well, we do encourage you to stay connected during these days when we're supposed to stay home. Lots of ways that you can be connected with the church. We have our Facebook group. We also have our Daily Encouragement email that you can get on that mailing list. And it just gives you some encouraging things to help you through your day. We also encourage you to call people, to Zoom people, to text people, just to be able to encourage one another, as you know, we don't want people to feel alone, even though we are taking some time where we are staying at home and socially distancing and physically distancing from people. Well, we do have lots of resources available online. Last week I posted some Bible resources as our message encouraged us to get into God's Word, and maybe you needed some tools. I'm still gathering some more resources, and so if you have some of those, you can let me know and I'll put it into a blog post. There's lots of other resources. We have a small group curriculum that we use each week that's available that ties in with the message. There is a curriculum for parents to go through with their kids called the Bible Discovery Lesson. And so all of these resources and much more, you can get caught up on messages that you may have missed. All these resources available at our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. And I'm hoping that we can continue to gather resources so that we can help you as you navigate life and the spiritual journey. Well, Camp Mishawa opened up their registrations for the summer for family camp this week. And so if you are interested in being a part of family camp, you can go and register at the Camp Mishawa website. And it's going to be hopefully a great summer of ministry at Camp Mishawa, and you can sign up there. Well, we want to take some time to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. And just to focus our thoughts this morning, we want to watch a short video, and that just tells us why communion matters. Let's watch it together.
It matters why we do this. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus broke bread. He gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat. This is my body." He took a cup. "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. It is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It matters how we do this. Let each of us look at our lives. Let us recognize our sin. Let us see the grace of God in the body and blood of Christ, broken for us, poured out for our forgiveness. It matters that we do this. Let us eat the bread. Drink from the cup. Remember the Lord's death in our place on the cross, looking for his return. Amen.
Celebrating the Lord's Supper together matters. It's important. It's what Jesus told us to do. And as we take some time this morning, to be able to remember and to give thanks to God, we want to remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. And I would encourage you, if you're watching the YouTube premiere and you have the chat feature, let's post some things that we're thankful for this morning. And if you don't have that, we're just going to take some time and we're going to pause together and to give thanks to God. Particularly, we want to give thanks for his gift on the cross, that he died for our sins so that we could have eternal life and that we could have life here on earth with him living in our lives. And so let's take a moment and let's give thanks to God. And so just in the quietness of your heart, or maybe write something in the chat feature, and let's just give thanks to the God and our thanks to God for these things in our lives. And so let's just take a moment and think of these things that we can be thankful for. Father, we are so thankful for your gift of your Son. That when you gave your Son to die for us, you said on the cross that it is finished. The work is completed. And we thank you that your work is complete. And that when we are saved, that we are saved in eternity. And Father, we have so many different things, blessings that you have given to each one of us. And we take a moment as we hold in our hand the symbol of your body, that you gave your life so that we could have life. And so, Father, as we partake together, it's with thanksgiving for the great and precious gift of Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together. Jesus also, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup represents the new covenant that is in my blood. And every time you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And I want to just take some time this morning to pray for the different needs in our congregation. And so I want you to be thinking right now in your heart of what's been your concern. Is it a physical need? Is it an emotional need? Is it a spiritual need? Is it a prayer for someone in your family to come to know Jesus? I want you to be thinking of those things right now, and we want to lift those cares and concerns up to the Lord, because we know that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He brings wholeness and He brings completeness to our lives. And so we want to trust that God is able to work in our lives and bring healing in the different areas of our life. So let's pray together. Father, as we sit in our homes and in various locations, we are reminded of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and how it brings forgiveness into our lives, and it brings wholeness and it brings completeness to our lives. And Father, there are those that need to have a special physical touch from You. And we pray, Father, that where they are, that You would meet with them and that You would be physically touching their lives. Father, for those that have emotional needs, dealing with anxiety and depression and struggling in different areas, whatever it is, Father, that they are wrestling with, we pray, Father, that by the mighty work of Your Spirit, You would be renewing their minds and that You would be rebuilding their lives according to Your plan and according to Your purpose. Father, we think of those that have loved ones that need to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, we lift them up to You. Father, for many other concerns that are weighing in people's hearts, Father, we bring those to You as well. Whatever it is, the need, we may not know it, but You know it. And so, Father, we lift those things up, knowing that You are able to work in mighty and incredible ways. And so we lift these cares and concerns to You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And let's take together the symbol of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and say thanks to God. Let's drink together. Well, we want to sing. And this song is just a great reminder of that Christ, living, He loved us. Dying, He saved us. Buried, He carried our sins far away. Rising, He justified. O glorious day. Let's sing it together.
Came forth to be born.
Well, this morning we're continuing on a series of messages called The Life You've Always Wanted, Spiritual Disciplines for Everyday People. God wants us to develop habits that are conducive to transforming and changing us to the way that God desires us to change. And I really think, and I've expressed this a number of times, that this is an important time in our history where we have had the opportunity to kind of slow down, pull away, and to be able to build a life that is pleasing to God and lay down a very firm foundation so that when things return to normal, that we'll have the foundation that is necessary to be able to have a life that is pleasing to Him. And today we want to look at a well-ordered heart and developing a rule of life. Because life is a funny, funny thing. And oftentimes, I struggle with sometimes thinking that all I need to do is get everything into balance. If I get everything in balance, I'll be living a good life. I remember as a kid in my hometown, we had railroad tracks, and the railroad would go through town. And oftentimes as kids, we would go and play on the railroad tracks. Now, we made sure the train wasn't coming, so we didn't do anything like that. But oftentimes we would walk on the rails. You know, it was kind of a balancing act in order to be able to stay on the rails. And sometimes I think that my life is kind of like walking on the rails, that if I just get everything in order in my life, that somehow I will be able to function and I'll be able to balance my way through life. And so often we look at kind of like this pie chart here, is these are the key areas of our lives. You know, we have spiritual, physical, social, work, mental, family, and financial, that all those areas, if I just got those all balanced out, that I would be able to have a good and less stressful experience here on in life. That if I just somehow was able to figure this out and balance it all out, that would be good. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be, but sometimes I think we put far too much emphasis on living a balanced life. Because the call of Scripture doesn't really call us to that. A balanced lifestyle is not an adequate goal to which to devote our lives. You know, Jesus didn't call us and say, you know, come be my follower and live balanced lives. It doesn't seem to really be the call that Jesus gave to people. And our lives are to be lived beyond balance because balance sometimes contributes to the compartmentalizing of our faith. Now, what I mean by that is that we divide our lives into little pieces, kind of like the pie chart that we had on earlier, you know, and so we kind of split our lives into work and faith and church and home, and we divide it into pieces. And that's because we want to try to manage our lives. But as God views our lives, God doesn't view our life as pieces of a pie. God views that everything about your life is spiritual. Every single thing that you do is spiritual. It has spiritual implications. Nothing that we do here on earth is apart from our spiritual lives. Everything is spiritual. And so sometimes we get into compartmentalizing and taking and making little chunks of our lives. Number one, sometimes that helps us keep God out. That's my work life, you know, that's my school life. My faith doesn't affect those things. And God's saying, you don't got any pieces to the pie, you got one pie, and it's all mine. Balance also doesn't really apply when we have desperate situations in life. Now, many of us have gone through desperate situations in life, whether it be health-related issues or the loss of a loved one. And when you go through those desperate and difficult times, your life is anything but balanced. And if balance is the goal, desperate situations must be an unwelcome thing, because it just throws us out of that balanced position. But Jesus says, and he guarantees, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. And so Jesus is saying that in the midst of your life, you're going to have things that are going to be difficult and hard. But they're also spiritual. And so even when our lives are completely and utterly out of balance, God is still working in the midst of that. And oftentimes balance also helps us, or is an attempt of ours to self-manage, you know, because I feel that way. You know, I just want to get the key areas of my life under control so that it will be much more manageable. And so oftentimes we want to build this balanced lifestyle because, you know, it will just make things feel like it's more in my control. And so that's why often we seek this balanced lifestyle, is because we want to maintain control. But a balanced lifestyle lacks the notion that my life is to be given to something bigger than myself. A balanced lifestyle is trying to maintain a sense of control, but God says that, you know what? You are being called to something higher. Scripture tells us to seek first his kingdom, that's our highest priority. And even when Jesus was calling his disciples, listen to what he says in Matthew 6:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. There's nothing in that passage about if you want to follow Jesus, put together a really cool and balanced life. No, it's actually most of those things that he says there are not balanced things at all. He says you deny yourself, so you don't take care of some of those things. I'm denying myself, and then it goes on and it says, and I'm going to take up my cross. Now, if you understand Scripture, you understand that the cross is an instrument of death. And so when Jesus is saying, take up your cross, it's like basically, okay, you're going to be living your life and dying to self. And then it goes on and it says, and you need to follow me. So all these things are things that are not moving us towards a manageable, self-balanced life. Jesus is calling us to something greater than that. But then I need to qualify something, because this is an important other side of the principle. Unbalanced living is not the answer either. You know, when we hear these calls, you know, it sounds like it could be a call to completely unbalanced living. And that is not what it is saying. I remember hearing a number of years ago different preachers saying the phrase, it's better to burn out than to rust away. You know, basically it was like call to go all in, and everything else didn't matter except for that. The problem with that is that there are calls in Scripture which contradict that. The Bible calls us to make sure that our marriage relationship is good, our relationship with our kids is good, that our call to our vocation is good. You know, all these different things are a part of life, and they have spiritual implications. And sometimes, if we completely unbalance our lives, it can come at a great cost. And the first one, the great cost, the first cost is that either way, if you burn out or you rust out, you're still out. And God's not interested in you being out. You know, this is probably one of the biggest discouragements of a person like myself who's in full-time ministry, is many of the people that I started college with are no longer in ministry. And many of them, it's because they went in and eventually they burnt out and now they're out. And many of them are not even walking a life of faith anymore. So it's the high cost of unbalanced living. But there's also a probably even a higher price when it comes to unbalanced living, and that's the repercussions on others that are around you. Many people got so into things that they neglected their key relationships, like their family and their spouse, their children. And I've known many pastors' kids who said, "I never knew my dad. Never." It is, you have so focused on those things to the detriment of those key relationships. And God is not calling us to live in such an unbalanced way that it hurts those people that are around us. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And this passage of Scripture encourages us to guard our hearts, that our hearts, the center of who we are, need to be protected, and they also need to be well ordered. We need to have well-ordered hearts. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, and we want to develop that a little bit more, of what does a well-ordered heart look like? Well, a well-ordered heart, sometimes we assume that balance assumes our problem is external. If I just was able to get all these things balanced, then my life would be good. So if we work on these externals, then things on the internal will work out. But that's not the way that God wants us. The issue is internal. It's about our heart. And our hearts affect our external things. We can't deal with the internal by dealing with the externals. You deal with the externals by dealing with the internal, which is our heart. You know, Jesus talked about, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It's the heart issues that are going to be the most important and significant. And so God is calling us to have well-ordered hearts. And balance assumes one size fits all. You know, if everybody just gets their pie all organized, that, you know, you'll be good. The problem is that everybody's spiritual journey is different. And what my life is going to, my well-ordered heart is going to look differently than yours. It's one of the, I would say, good bad things about spirituality is that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And this is great, that what works for you, well, that works for you. And what works for me, that works for me. And I'm very different than you are, and you are very different than I am. And so we have everyone's path to a well-ordered heart and a thriving spirituality is going to look very, very different. Because our personalities are different, our spiritual gifts are different, our temperaments are different. We all have these different things about us, which it is so cool that God wants you to be you and work with you on an individual basis to be able to build this well-ordered life. I think it's one of the most amazing things that every one of us is so different. And God is okay with us all being different. And so God wants to move us in this process of spiritual transformation. And each of us chooses a spiritual strategy, whether or not we are intentional about it. You have a spiritual strategy for transformation in your life. And you're going, "No, I don't." Well, there it is. You just revealed to me what yours is. Yours is to let it happen whatever way is going to happen. So we all have some kind of strategy, whether it's intentional or not. You have a strategy for spiritual transformation. And so if you still go, "Well, I really just don't have anything that I'm planning." Well, chances are it's just going to unfold with no strategy whatsoever. Spiritual transformation cannot be orchestrated or controlled, but neither is it a random venture. You know, we can't manipulate and do the balance thing and make our lives balanced and then somehow we'll be able to have this spiritual transformation. That's not the way it works. But it's also not just a random venture that goes whatever which way. God wants us to be, at certain points in Scripture, it says, make every effort, put your effort into this. And this is one of those areas where God is calling us to not just let our spiritual transformation be a random process, that God wants us to be cooperative and helpful in the process, and even to be strategic in our process of growing into His likeness. And we do that by developing what we call a rule of life. And this is something that's going to be changing as you go through life, but it is just some guidelines in order to be able to help us be able to build a life and a well-ordered heart. This is what it says in Colossians 3:17, and this is our key principle. And I'm going to encourage you to memorize this verse because it is important. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so this scripture tells us that whatever you do, whether it be your spoken word or your actions that you do in life, and then it even qualifies, makes it even bigger, do everything. So it's words, actions, and then if it wasn't clear enough, he goes on and he says, do everything, every activity that you do during your day is to be done in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every activity that we do, spoken word, action, anything else, is all to be done in the name of Jesus. And so how do we do that? How do we live in Jesus' name? And doing something in Jesus' name means doing it in His character. It means doing it as Jesus Himself would do it if He were in your place. And that's where it gets unique and special, is that each one of us is going to do things slightly different, but it's like Jesus working in and through us in an individual and unique way. And so God wants us to be able to do everything that we do while we are here on planet Earth in the name of Jesus. And so the scripture again qualifies, do everything, absolutely everything is to be done in the name of Jesus. And so what I want us to do, and I'm going to post this as a blog post. And so if you're a scrambling note taker, I'm going to help you with this because we're going to go through some stuff very quickly. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to post these questions, and that way you can maybe go through it as an activity later. And so right now I just want you to be thinking about this. Think of a normal day, okay? A normal day that you are going through. And we want to think of it through the lens of Colossians 3:17. That we are doing everything in the name of Jesus. And so ask yourself the question, how do I wake up in the name of Jesus? You know, some people, what's the joke? They ask the wife, do you wake up grumpy? Or do you let them sleep? how do we wake up in the name of Jesus? Well, as we start our day, how do we start it in such a way that we are doing it in the name of Jesus? What about how do you greet each other? You get up in the morning, maybe your first interactions are with your family and your household, or maybe other people at your job, whatever the case is. How do you greet people in the name of Jesus? And then it goes on and says, how do you eat? You know, how do you go through your, because you're going to be eating, well, we probably eat more than we should, but at least two or three times a day, you're going to be sitting down and having a meal, whether it be with your family or coworkers, probably not coworkers right now, but you hopefully at some point we will be able to. You know, how do we eat in the name of Jesus? How do you drive? Now you're getting in my my wheelhouse. How do you drive in the name of Jesus? You know, because a lot of us spend, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. My vehicle is a 2016, which means it's 5 years old, and I have 225,000 kilometers. And so I was getting my windshield replaced because it was broken. And the lady who worked there goes, "You drive a lot." And I had to think, and I go, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere, but I must. And so a large portion, if I've done that 225,000 kilometers in 5 years, and if John Hook, you're probably laughing at me, that's nothing. Yeah, what have you got on one vehicle, 700,000 or something like that? How do you drive and reflect the character of Christ as you're driving? How do you work? How do you do your job? You know, oftentimes we think of Jesus being involved in a job like mine, but do you think about, you know, a large portion of your week is going to be given to your job, and you are to do everything, your spoken word, your actions, everything in the name of Jesus. How do you work at your job in the name of Jesus? How do you care for your children? You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, or anybody of us who have children, grandchildren in our care, how do we reflect Jesus in those relationships and activities? How do you shop? Ooh, shopping? Most of the time we think of shopping as a personal experience. We don't really think of it as a spiritual experience. But Scripture tells us that we need to do everything. And so how do we shop in a way that reflects Jesus? Maybe we've never asked ourselves. Sometimes we may have to ask ourselves some hard questions. How do you handle money in a way that is in the name of Jesus? Do you just think that, well, I just give my 10% to God and you know, the rest is mine to do? And God says, well, you know, that other 90, you have to be responsible and live it out like you're doing it in the name of Jesus. How do you handle your money? How do you do your housework? Oh, housework? How can God be in my housework? Housework is a pain. You know, we need to reflect Jesus in the way that we do our simple, mundane tasks that we do. How do you read in the name of Jesus? How do you go to sleep in the name of Jesus? How do you schedule your day in the name of Jesus? You know, oftentimes I just, you know, let my schedule unfold. I have certain activities, but, you know, am I really inviting Jesus to be with me in my schedule during the day? How do I involve myself in community and church in the name of Jesus? These are all really spiritual areas. Everything in our lives is spiritual. And God is interested in every little bit of your life. And He wants you to be thinking about how each moment of each day you can live out in the name of Jesus. That there is no part of your day that does not have spiritual implications. And so the challenge, I already encourage you to do this, but I would encourage you, memorize this scripture. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to Him the Father through Him. Get that one into your head and meditate and think about that. And as you begin to apply some of these things, continue to pull yourself back. Let everything, word, deed, everything, do it all in the name of Jesus. Prayerfully ask yourselves those questions and revisit them on occasion. Actually, you're going to probably be revisiting them as you go through your day. But prayerfully go through these questions and ask yourself, how can I do all these things in the name of Jesus? And live each day as if it's an adventure with God. You know, as you go out on your day, every day, most of us are pretty sure we know what's going on. You know, we've got our days kind of laid out. But live each day as if it's an adventure from God, that God is leading you, and it could go differently than what you've planned because you're intending to live your day in the name of Jesus. And Jesus wants to have people who are willing to be obedient to His voice in every single issue of your day. I love this thought, and we're going to close with this. Spiritual growth, in a sense, is simply increasing our capacity to daily experience the presence of God. God wants us to experience His presence in every aspect of our lives. There is nothing in our lives that is not spiritual. And God has called us to a greater purpose than to live a balanced lifestyle. God has called us to deny ourselves and to follow Him. But remember, He's not calling us to be so unbalanced in our living that we hurt those people that are around us. God is calling us to live day by day, each moment, to the glory of Jesus Christ and His name. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to be able to live each day, that every word that we speak, every action that we do, every single thing that is a part of our daily activities, that, Father, we would be able to do them in the name of Jesus. Father, thank You that for each of us, that is a wonderfully unique experience. And Father, help us to grow each day, to raise our awareness of Your presence, and so that we will be able to live our lives in such a way that we will experience You on a daily basis in every single one of our activities. Father, we pray that by Your Spirit, You would do a work of transformation in our daily activities. Meet with us in each moment of each day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to sing a song in conclusion. And this song is, I make the chorus your prayer. The chorus says, Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me. That's the prayer of the well-ordered heart. Let's sing it together.
This is my desire to honor You. Lord, with all my heart, I worship You. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire.
Well, I hope you made that your prayer, that every breath that you take, every step that you take, that you would be living for Him. And so let's be looking for the opportunities this week to be able to meet with God in our everyday moments. Well, I would encourage you to take a few moments and enjoy the conversation before you leave the service. And if you have any questions or things that you are thinking about, we can talk about those things. Join in the conversation. Well, we'll be keeping you posted about any decisions that the Ontario government makes this week. And hopefully we'll be having our regular in-person service again on Sunday. But we'll keep you posted on those things. And we'll let you know as soon as we know what's going on. I hope that you have an amazing week. That you are keep yourself safe, and remember that God wants to meet with you every moment of every day. God bless you. Have a great week.
every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have